Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned into Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. If you're catching this live, don't forget to hit that share button, share it around, all of the good stuff like that. If you're catching the playback here on YouTube, I am live on Facebook on the Investor Show, Royal Financial Investment Group, Prince Dykes, NBA, all those great stuff. And for the people that's catching the podcast, thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. But today's podcast, I'm going to do live on Facebook and all the other great stuff. But today, we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of things going on in the world. I'm going to hit on five good subtopics that you guys are going to, guys and girls are going to enjoy. And hopefully it brings some type of clarity to your minds right now, right? Of course, I live here outside of Denver, Colorado, and I'm on curfew. So we're on curfew due to what's going on in America. Definitely troubling times, definitely uncertain times. But we're going to focus in on today on why to never bet against America. Why did I choose this topic? This was made famous, probably, I won't say famous, but it was really sculpted to me a couple weeks ago, earlier this month, when I watched Berkshire Hathaway's annual meeting, and this was coined by Warren Buffett, kind of at the end of his meeting, kind of talked about never bet against America, right? And the thing is, the thing about Warren Buffett, dude's almost 90 years old, right? So he's seen a lot. He's seen us go to war, Great Depression, World War II, Vietnam, the market crash in 1987, the 2000.com bomb, 2008 financial crisis, and everything that happened in between, all the way up to the 2020 pandemic, right? And I'm pretty sure you've seen more than that. So we've been through a lot as a country, civil rights movement, all that type of stuff like that, right? You've seen plenty of riots. And I'm here to break some news to you, ladies and gentlemen. This ain't going to be the last riot. This riot will probably happen again. Now, pandemic, I probably won't see in my lifetime again. But, I mean, we might have a second wave, but not a new one. I don't see one happening like a couple years from now. But to think about it all, America's still rising. So to think about the first topic I want to get into, everything is unfair. I hate to break it to everybody, but I don't care what genre or what sector you work in or what sector of life. One thing life has taught me in 35 years is that everything is unfair. Is it fair that I'm 6'1", 6'2", and I'm not in the NFL or the NBA? Somebody's born 6'8" with athleticism so they can make millions of dollars while I can't make anything. Well, you look at human nature itself is unfair. What I mean by that is not in human nature, just look at mammals in general. Go to the jungle. Is it fair that the tiger is bigger, faster, and stronger than a zebra? Is it fair that an elephant is, I don't know how many pounds an elephant is, but an elephant as big as he is and he can just stomp on a dog or something like that, or whatever the case may be? No, it's not fair. I haven't seen any facet of my life that's been fair. I went to school in high school. They had a higher academic skill. Some people was being prepared for college. Some people was being prepared for tech school. Some people was in special education where they're going to just make them a blue collar worker or something like that, right? And that was in high school. Even in elementary, some people are faster than other people. Some people are stronger than other people. Some people are taller. Some people are short. I got friends that are 5'5", 5'2", who wish they was over 6 feet, right? Is it fair to them that they're 5'5" and they want to be 6'2", so they should do whatever, be more attractive to females or play basketball or whatever the case may be? No. Is it fair that somebody's last name is Gates or somebody's last name is Trump or somebody's last name is Clinton or Kennedy or whatever the case may be, and they inherit a lot of wealth and connections? And you were born in the projects where you have little to no connections or money. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. So the thing about it is everybody tries to fight to even out the playing field for everybody is going to fight that I can look at it and say, it just ain't fair. Is it fair that one guy is 6'8" and he can run a 4.4 40, a 4.0 40, versus somebody else who's 6'2" and who runs a 5.0 40? Guess what? I don't care how fair you make the playing field. This guy's just better than you, right? Is it fair that somebody else get millions and millions and millions of subscribers and you only have 4 or 5? Is that fair? No. Everybody can't be at the top, right? Is it fair that some people are going to get promoted this year and you're not? Some people are more connected than you are. Is it fair? Probably not. You notice that in business. Companies that are bigger than you, they've been around 100 years, and you're like, I'm a brand new company. How can I compete with a Coca-Cola or Disney or whatever the case may be? Is it fair? No. So it's everything. When you look at this human nature, it's unfair. And the thing about when you look at fairness, people love to take advantage of other people. Do you think the zebra can walk up to the tiger and say, hey man, you know what? I sprung my ankle. Can you not eat me today? No. Or do you think the zebra cares if the tiger cares if the zebra has a mental condition and what? No, they don't care. It's the natural habitat. Right now, I'm in the market for buying a house. If I know this house, if somebody's willing to sell me their house for $300,000 and I know it's worth $500,000, do you think I'm going to call them and say, hey, you know what? Why are you selling me this house for $300,000? You know it's worth at least $500,000, correct? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be like, ooh, good for me. I don't know what they're doing on their end, but you're going to take advantage of them. Does that make me a bad person? Does that make me a bad person? So naturally, instincts of people is to take advantage of other people. The buyer is trying to sell it for the highest, the buyer is trying to buy it for the lowest price possible. The seller is trying to sell it for the highest price possible. That's why we have spreads every day on the stock market, right? When you look at the stock market, when you look at everything, you have spreads. You got a bid price and an ask price. A house, you got a bid price and an ask price. A person is asking for 50, you're offering, you're bidding for 30. Why is that? Is that fair? Is it really fair? I'm not saying, right? I'm not the one to be for social justice. But sometimes in your mind can get convoluted in your vision, trying to make everything fair for everybody. Let's take in the military. For all my military people out there, no matter what you do, somebody's going to be at the bottom. From top to bottom, somebody's going to be at the bottom. It don't matter what you do or say. So sometimes we get, oh man, why ain't fair for me? Why my last name couldn't be this and I could inherit money and wealth and blah, blah. I was lucky. I grew up with a mom and a dad in a middle-class environment with 3 older brothers. I'm the youngest. I got friends that grew up with only their mom in the projects working 2 jobs. Was that fair to them? No. Then I have friends who grew up from rich parents. Is that fair? No, it ain't fair. Right? So before I get into the next topic, but he said facts. He said it's life once we overstand that we can do our best to move accordingly. Yes, I agree with that. Ms. Wonderfields, how's it going, Ms. Wonderfields? So no matter what you're trying to do, ladies and gentlemen, life is never going to be fair. Is it fair that you was born in America versus somebody else was born in a third world country out in South Africa or something? Not in South Africa, but in Indonesia, in a poor country in Indonesia. Is it fair that you was born in America to a middle-class environment? Somebody else was born in Indonesia with a disability. Is that fair? No. So what I'm saying at this time of America's unrest, everybody's trying to fight for fairness. It's never going to be fair, right? Because the people that got the upper hand, they want to keep the upper hand. And the person that got the lower hand is going to keep the lower hand. Look at LeBron James. Look at he's the best basketball player in the world. His training regimen and what he does, whatever, he wants to keep that competitive advantage over everybody else. Do you think Target can go to Walmart and say, hey, man, could you slow down a little bit? Because if you don't, I'm going to go out of business. Do you think Walmart cares? No. Generally speaking, they might have some type of friendship, but no, they don't care. If Target goes and says, hey man, Walmart, can you please, you know, don't build more Walmarts because we're going to go out of business. They don't care. They hope you go out of business, right? So let's get into the second piece. Let's go, let's a little history lesson. What I like to say, he said, Alexander Ward said, I agree, it would never be fair. Great topic. No problem. Wonder Fizz said, good, thank you. So next thing, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to do, I'm going to get into history. In order to know where you're going, you got to know where you've been. That's why I like old people. Old people have seen and done this stuff. Old people have seen unrest. They've seen wars. They've seen presidential elections. They've seen people fighting the streets. They've seen riots in the streets. They've seen people killed, all those stuff like that. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? This is going to continue to happen, continuously happen. We're never going to be in peace and harmony and everybody just singing kumbaya, walking down the street. This is the part of the world we live in, right? History would tell you, and what I liked about this topic, why I came up with Never Bet Against America, is the thing about what Buffett was saying in Berkshire. He was saying, hey, look, when America got started way back in the day, and he was explaining how cheap land was, I think it was like a penny or something like that per acre, how cheap land was, how the Louisiana Purchase was $15 million, and it like doubled or quadrupled the size of America. You're talking about buying, I don't know, something like 5-10 states for $15 million. You can't buy a city for $15 million today. And he was saying how through all of the slavery, all the women's rights, the civil rights, the War of 1812, the Civil War, all this stuff we went through, still today, America rose. It was way worse in those days and times, right? Now we get to see it on video versus back then, we just hear the stories. Now we get to see it on video. We get to hear it. We get to see it, right? But this is nothing new up under the sun. And through all of those times, all of that crap that was going on and continues to go on, America continues to rise. I always tell people, America is a beautiful, ugly woman. And what I mean by beautiful, ugly woman, it's beautiful in a sense, but it's ugly at the same time. Meaning that great opportunity. You could come here and start a business and get business loans and do all type of things, invest and network, all of the good stuff, have freedom of speech or whatever, march on the streets if you want to. But guess what? It has an ugly side to it as well. Everything is not fair here, right? And one thing is you can never pass a law to change how someone feels. Doesn't happen. But in this topic and video, I'm going to show you how to do the best you can to come out on top at the end. Now, here's another one. Number three, a lesson from immigrants. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play a clip, and I want y'all to pay very close attention. This is from one of my previous interviews that I did with Patrick Bet Davis of Valuetainment. He was on the show probably like 2 weeks ago. Patrick Bet Davis has the largest YouTube channel on entrepreneurship, you know, millions of subscribers just on YouTube alone, and he's an immigrant. I think he was from Iran, Middle East. He's from the Middle East. He's from the Middle East. He was a war refugee, came to America, joined the military, got out of the military, turned his life around, ended up making $1 million, multi-million dollar insurance company, and also, you know, creating that Valuetainment, the largest YouTube channel, where he's featured some of everybody. Presidents, Kobe Bryant, basketball, all type of people, right? Great, great guy. And he stopped by the show, he said something. And I said, what is the lesson can we learn from immigrants? How did you rise through it all, right? How did you come into a new country? Can't read, can't write, don't know the English, don't know the language. Got to learn the culture, learn everything, and still you rose. How did that happen? And I'm going to play a clip from him because I want you to, we're going to look at it, then I want you to pay close attention to what he has to say. And from what he has to say, you're going to learn something very, very cool. It's a minute long. I'm going to play a one-minute clip, Patrick Bet Davis, of a lesson we can learn from immigrants. And I'm going to come back to it, right? Here we go. Want to make sure y'all can hear this.
Hello?
Hopefully y'all can hear that. Hopefully my audio wasn't too bad there. I forgot to switch it over. If not, I'll play it again. Okay, 1 second. I'm glad y'all said that. I'm gonna play it again. I forgot to switch my audio. I don't know why I keep forgetting to do this.
I'll give me 1 second. I'm gonna play it again. Sorry about that. Let me play it one more time. All right, here we go. That's a 1 minute clip I'm going to play. Patrick Bet Davis of Valuetainment. I'm sorry about that. Y'all couldn't hear. But we're going to have it right now. Here we go.
Turn anything for you. Best way to describe it is this. This is the best way to describe it. So imagine if you go and a kid says, see you after high school, meaning see you after school. What do you mean? Let's go fight after school. After school? After school. Where? Behind a football stadium. You want to meet me after school? Yeah, I want to meet you after school. Let's go. Okay, great. It's fourth period. Each period, all you're thinking about is that fight that's coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to that fight by yourself because you're a new student. He comes with a crew of 10. You fight. If you knock him out, his buddies are going to back him up. You're going to get your ass handed to you if you decide to fight. Making your first million feels like you got a bigger backup when you go to fight against others. You can't be broke. You can stand up because you know you got money backing you up and you don't desperately need to make any decisions. And many of the fights can be avoided because you got strong backup. See, U.S., it doesn't. The reason why U.S. has not gone to war in a long time and no one attacks us, minus, you know, obviously some of the 9/11, some of the Pearl Harbor stuff. I'm talking about we've never had a massive war where it's all out an attack on U.S. Why? Because we have a strong military. What happens when you have a strong military? It's not that you need to use that strong military to go to war. You have that strong military so people don't fight you. When you have the money, one of the biggest benefits is people avoid picking a fight against you because you have money.
Hopefully you guys and girls heard that. And for the people who really didn't catch that, who just tuned in, the argument he made and the argument that he said, hopefully y'all can hear that. Y'all let me know if y'all can hear that. Y'all comment, let me know if y'all can hear that. The point that he made and the point that he said is when he got to America, he realized that, hey, once you have your money, people don't pick a fight with you too funny. So he learned quickly and said, hey, you know what? I need to focus on my finances. I need to focus on financial literacy so I can have the money to back me up, right? And so many people go out here with little to no money, funds are messed up or whatever the case may be, and thinking they're going to get treated fairly. This is America. This is capitalism. It's a pyramid. There will always be a bottom. And you think you're going to get treated fairly. And why I say that's a lesson from an immigrant. He learned that as an immigrant, he saw when he got to America, he said, this is a capitalist society. I got to get my money right because nobody ever pick at me or bully me if I have money and I don't have to make hasty decisions because I have money. And it changed everything. Prince, what does that have to do today? Today, people are looking to be treated fairly. People are looking to think everything is going to be fair in a capitalist society and you're broke. You have little to no money. You have, in order for you to have money, you got to have financial literacy. You got to have some type of financial education. So at a time like this, instead of focusing on, please, just treat me right, focus on your finances. Because when you get your first million behind you, you know you have backing. You just heard him say that. That's a lesson that immigrants learn. A lot of people that come from Asia, you will see them. They will learn, I can create a little Chinatown, people that come from European countries. I can create a little Italy, people that come from, you know, the Middle East. They may say, I can learn convenience stores. You know, I can learn convenience stores. I can build a little Italy. I can do nail shops and, you know, restaurants or whatever. They learn something because they know once they have their money, that's going to be their backing in a capitalistic society. That's what immigrants have learned. And that's what you can learn from them to say, So with me, in my head, I say, hey, instead of going out here expecting somebody to treat me fairly and blah, 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 I would rather you give me a Starbucks franchise than to treat me fairly. I'm sorry. Because if I get my own Starbucks franchise and it does well, guess what? I'm going to be able to have a house. I'm going to be able to contribute to my local community. I'm going to be able to give out jobs. I'm going to be able to help out, build a school, create your own community, right? So that's what I try to tell people. Don't focus on, hey, treat me right. Your finances is very, very important. And that's a lesson that immigrants learn quick and fast and in a hurry, right? Topic number four, building communities. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to build communities. Yes, you can have your own success, or if you want to change a group, create their own community. What I mean by community is not where you live. Having a house, owning the Starbucks, owning the grocery store, owning the fast food restaurants, owning the nail spot, owning all, you know, the post office, the UPS store, the FedEx store, the whatever the case may be, owning the nursing home, you know, working at the hospitals, owning your own hospital. That's a community, right? Not just where you live, but a community to say, hey, you know what? I actually own the grocery store. And then my next door neighbor owns the barbershop. Then my next door neighbor owns, or whatever the case may be, build a community. That's what you can do. People respect when you build a community. It's a lesson you can learn from immigrants. And it's something that history has taught you. And to realize that things will never be fair. I'm sorry. Guess what, guys and girls? No matter how hard I try, I'll probably never be Bill Gates. Right? But what I can do, your goal should be to give your son or daughter a better option than what you had. That's it. My only goal in life is to give my son, Wesley, more than what my dad gave me. Give him more than what I gave him, and to tell my son, hey, if you have children, or if you got nieces or nephew or cousin, you got to give them more than what they gave you, and you got to pass it on. If I give you $1,000, if my dad gave me $1,000, it's my duty to give my son more than $1,000. Then once my son inherit more than $1,000, it is my son's duty to then turn around and give $11,000, right? To whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. That's the way I look at it. Making yourself stronger and bigger. Well, Prince, how can I do that? Can I start an investment account for my child? Can I buy some land for my child? I just did a video yesterday showing you how to buy land online. I did a video the other day showing you how to open up a brokerage account for a child. Did a video, I wrote the book on teaching you how to raise credit for your children, how to invest for your children, how to buy insurance for your children, those and yourself, right? Why is insurance important? And bringing that up to your children. That's the only thing I worry about what I can control. Build a community. Talk about things that you can do to better yourself. Right? So you have to rely less and less on people. Take it, for example, I have a foundation, Global Children Financial Literacy Foundation. I founded it with my co-founder, Chad Davis, right? He would tell you, every day I wake up, I try to figure out ways I can fund my own foundation versus other people funding it, right? So that's the way you got to think about it. How can I build something? How can I do something to help myself out? What you guys are saying. I also want to say that's a fact. Want to say true indeed? Yes. So imagine if the mice went to the snake and said, snake, can you stop eating me? What do you think the snake is going to do? He's probably going to laugh. Snake, I'm having a bad day. Can you stop eating me? You know, I'm glad that you're here. That's what I'm supposed to do. A zebra can't go to a tiger and say, hey, can you stop doing this? No. What does the monkey do? What does the zebra do? When you just look at the natural habitat, they realize, the tiger is faster than me. The snake loves to live over here. He learns the enemy. And guess what he does? He knows how to survive in the jungle. when you see those old monkeys, I don't know if they get gray hair, but let's say if you got an old monkey with gray hair or a big fish at the bottom of the sea, they don't get that big for being stupid. They learn, I got to stay away from the sharks. I got to live over here. I got to learn how to eat this. I got to learn how to do this so I can build something of my own. That's what you have to do to survive. If the monkey doesn't learn the jungle, right? If the monkey doesn't comprehend the jungle, he dies. If the zebra doesn't comprehend the jungle, he dies. If the mice doesn't comprehend the jungle, he's dead, right? So sometimes you got to look at situations and say, okay, so what I got to do to survive and build it for myself? America respects two things. They respect money and they respect blood, green and red. People that have money, you build your own community or whatever the case may be. Now politicians respect communities. Oh, that's a nice community. Politicians respect communities. Now you can contribute to, you can help have politicians in your interest. Now that you have politicians in your interest, when something happens to you or something like that, you can call the politician. But if you have no money, if you're working part-time at, you know, just a car wash, you know, just washing cars at a car wash and doing this or whatever, then expecting to be treated properly and right, no, you got to start with financial literacy. Learn how to build your own community. So why do you say all of this, Prince? You're never better against America. America is beautiful, but it's got some ugly spots on her face. But you got to realize that, hey, well, yes, it has ugly spots on the face. What can I do for myself? I don't wake up every day. Am I going to be downtown protesting? And no, that's not going to happen with me. The biggest reason why, I mean, first of all, I can't do it anyway, being a military member. But the biggest reason, that's just not who I am. I would rather sit at home and learn how to read financial statements to make better investments. I learn how to do options. I learn how to purchase a company or a franchise or start a business or do whatever the case may be to better myself, because America is going to be America. Y'all think this is going to be the last uprising in America, riots and looting? No, it's going to happen again and again and again, right? I mean, hopefully not that frequent, but when you study your history, it would tell you. But guess what? At the end of the day, America will rise. Hit the last one. Number five, what the heart believes, the mind will achieve. If you believe it in your heart, you can convince yourself. If you tell everybody the world is against you, your brain will believe it. If you tell your heart, in your heart you believe that the world is looking out for you, your brain is going to achieve it. So what you wake up with every day, what you feed inside of your brain and your heart, and you're waking up every day. I know social media is littered with, you know, oh, the riots and the pandemic and this and that. It's just literal. And it's just so easy to fall into that trap and just be like, man, what in the world is going on? This is the end of the world. I can't, you know, I'm losing my job. I don't have this and that and that. And it's so easy to fall inside of that rut, right? And when you fall inside of that rut, your brain is going to achieve that and believe it. Now your brain is in a rut. Your heart is in a rut. What possibilities do you have of winning it that way? A winner thinks of ways to win. So if your heart, hold on, y'all, 1 second. I got my subtitle on it wrong. I'll give you 1 second. But if your heart believes it, right, you have to think about it. You got to think positive. Every situation I've ever been in, there have been places and things that I didn't like to do. But guess what? I figured out a way to win. And when I said, when you figure out a way to win, you got to know ways that, what can you do today to better yourself tomorrow? And what can you do today to better yourself tomorrow? Where am I going to get by doing this? 1 second. I had done, went up there and had a typo in my subtitle. Two typos in there. Give 1 second. But the whole idea is, you become what you believe. If you believe that you are great and that the world is on your side, you're going to win. make sure I got that right. But you got to think about it and ask yourself, what are you going to do today? Here we go. There we go. Sorry about that, y'all. What the heart believes, the mind will achieve, right? So your brain can achieve whatever the heart believes, right? So in your heart, if you wake up every day, I know it's hard to stay positive, but you got to stay positive and say, hey, you know what? I can't control how this person feels about me. But what I can control is this, focusing on what you can control. If your brain believes the world is against you, you will convince yourself. Don't let the world win that way. What are you going to win? Nothing. Little to nothing. Guaranteed. So, with that being said, I want to go off what I just said. Everything is unfair. Prince, what do you mean by everything is unfair? Everything is unfair, meaning that no faster than life. When you run track, somebody's just faster than you. Y'all give me 1 second. When you run track, somebody's faster than you. When you play football, when you run track, somebody's faster than you. When some people are born with more intelligence or the ability to learn, some people have more money than you. Some people are born in a better country, better situation than you are. Some people got better networks than you are. So no faster than life is fair, and I don't ever see life being fair. So instead of trying to fight for fairness, realize, okay, well, what am I good at? Figure out what you're good at and realize instead of trying to worry about what somebody else do or whatever the case may be, focus on you. How can you make it fair for yourself? Number two, history. History has taught you and taught us that through everything America has been through, World War I, World War II, Great Depression, World War I, Great Depression, World War II, the Vietnam conflict, Korean conflict, everything that we go through with life or whatever the case may be, history has taught us America will find a way to win. When we get up out of this pandemic and these uprisings and all this stuff like that, where are you going to be? Take this time in your house. I'm on curfew. I woke up on curfew. So take this time in your house to better yourself, because history has shown you America will win and to never bet against it. And yes, she's beautiful, but she got some ugly spots. Number three, a lesson from immigrants. What did immigrants do? Immigrants that come from the Middle East that start 7-Elevens, Europeans that may come to America and start a little Italy, Asians that come and start a little China, they come in, they realize, once I had a financial backing, my money is very important. My money is very powerful. So guess what? They focus on their finances to get all the backing that they want and need. You live in a capitalist society, ladies and gentlemen. Capitalist means money. It rules everything, right? You can go to jail, but if you can't afford a lawyer, good luck. So those are things you got to be focusing on, your finances. And that's a thing that you can learn from immigrants. And I played a clip from Patrick Bet Davis of Valuetainment. Number four, build a community. Instead of trying to worry about fairness, build a community. Learn how, hey, you know what? How can I own the Starbucks? How can I own the grocery store? How can I own the KFC? How can I own the whatever your community needs and is using? How can I build my own housing? Can I come together? Can I practice group economics, putting something together so you can have your own? Not just you're doing good, but have, we live here, we own this, we own a grocery store. People respect that when you build and build your own community. Number five, if it's in your heart, it's in your mind. If your heart believes the world is against you, your mind will achieve it, right? What's in your heart, that's what your mind is going to achieve. So to think about it, if you think the world is against you or with you, you're probably right. So think about it. If you wake up every day, you keep positive thoughts. I know it's hard to be positive in a time like this, but if you keep positive thoughts, you're going to get positive results and you're going to radiate positiveness. Hopefully I said that right. So that's the way I like to look at it, right? Wayne, what's going on, Wayne? I talked about your Nokia the other day too. I don't know if I still got it on me. I thought you was on here. You saw me. I spoke about Nokia. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's topic. I hope to tell you, at the end of the day, America is going to win and it will win. The question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in the meantime? What are you going to do? There's only three options. Either you're going to die off, survive, or get stronger. Are you going to die off? Are you going to survive? Or are you going to get stronger? Hopefully you get stronger. Figure out some ways you can get stronger. What are the ways you can get stronger? Land, stocks, business, and yourself. Land, real estate, buying land, buying houses. Two, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. Three, land, real estate, business, some form of business. You don't have to have a business. Put some money in. You and your buddies get together, go buy a franchise or go buy a grocery store or something like that. That's three. Number four, yourself. What can you do to better yourself? You can pick up some books. You can join reading clubs. You can join book clubs. You can tune into the right podcasts, YouTube channels, all that other great stuff. All right? So those are the four options. Get better with yourself. Thank you, great value. Thank you, Ms. Wonder, for Fields, for tuning in. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's topic. I know you're already smart. If you're watching this and listening to this, you're smart. You're on the right path because of all the noise that's going on, you just staying focused. You're staying focused. 2 months from now, people forget this happened. A year from now, 5 years from now, you'll be telling your kids. Ask yourself, what am I doing today that tomorrow is going to me is going to appreciate? I'm 35 years old today. What am I doing today that my 40-year-old self would appreciate? Is it 10 push-ups? Is it learning how to learning different companies? Is it learning to buy a company, buy a franchise, get together with a group of people, no more than three, one, two, three people. Y'all get together, come up with something, come up with an idea or whatever the case may be. Well, Prince, I got to start out small. I won't make that much money. Okay, cool. Maybe you might do a little something that might lead to two, three, four, five. But what are you doing today? I used to think that way. But as I got older and mature, better yourself. All right? Until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me around, do around the globe, peace, be safe. I'm out, and thank you.